She didn't write it. And even though she didn't have the hit,
let's
give Lori Lieberman her
due. Shot.
Killing Me Softly at NEWFM.
They worked hard.
WFM, I guess you could say that that is the original version of Killing Me Softly with his song as performed by Lori Lieberman. About our special in-studio guest on this premiere edition of Mixed Bag at NEWFM, and that is Don McLean. Don, I said earlier we would get back to talking about American Pie. Where did that come from?
I had this obsession for a long time with the death of America. I remember in the late 60s, there used to be this little promo that would come on, "Don't Let America Die." Remember that?
I thought it, was
on
the God
ABC.
Is Dead.
It was something about the environment, something like that. It was 68, 69, and I thought, wow, that is what's happening, says I. So the first place where that reared its little head was in a thing called Orphans of Wealth, a song that you mentioned off Tapestry. The last line, it's about poverty, and it says, it's a story of, it gets to the point where here's this child who has no clothes, and it says, his life has been sold, his young face looks old, it's the face of America dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, the following year, still not satisfied that that had adequately expressed just how dead I thought we were, I began to think of an idea, basically from reading Rolling Stone, which was that, you know, the Little Richard was every bit as great as Bruce Springsteen, if not 500 or 600 times greater.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the Rolling Stone writers. They didn't have the Stephen Holdens and the other little fellows who scurry around making mythology where we really can't find much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them wouldn't have known real mythology had they tripped over it. It was only after it had been proven that it was that they could write about that as mythology as well. Holly was completely forgotten by those very same people who were quick to say that so-and-so was the next Bob Dylan or that such-and-such was going to be the greatest group since the Beatles and to start mythologizing them in that way. So all I did was write a story about the day the music died in an effort to try and show how America was dying and used imagery which I found in Rolling Stone.
Oh, my. Is that a known fact? Or?
Well, that's exactly that's what I say most of the time. It was just the imagery of pop mythology makers.
It was perceived by some critics as an anti-rock and roll
song.
Yes,
it was.
What do you say to that?
Well, I say that it was perceived by many people as so many things that I'm sure it was perceived by some as the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, there's always someone who perceives something in a way opposite to the way you had intended. Mm-hmm. The guy that shot John Lennon obviously made some erroneous perceptions about him. Mm-hmm. We are living in an outpatient ward. We are living in a world where there is too much mental illness to enclose it all and to begin to treat it. Anyone who stands on a stage and sings his songs or expresses his feelings runs the risk of running into someone who perceives what he has to say radically different than the way in which he intended it. My love for Buddy Holly and my pride at knowing his wife and his family and at seeing what happened to his career and to his fortunes posthumously, but nonetheless, is all that I ever need from that song and from what happened to it.
Do you ever speculate on what he might be doing today had he survived?
I don't know whether that's a worthwhile thing to speculate, because so few of those people did survive, number one, either artistically or physically.
There are no role models for aging rock and roll stars.
There are no role models for aging. That's the gorgeous aspect of aging, is that you get a chance to be really, you get a chance to pioneer your own boat. One of the problems we have with all the reassurance and all the supportiveness that TV and radio and records and film and everything give us, especially today when we have indulged in, over the last 10 years, what, in a sense, I have to take partly responsibility for, which is an orgy of nostalgia. Really, what American Pie triggered off was this enormous longing for days gone by, mm-hmm. which has been expressed in a lot of lame ways, in my opinion, but one of the nicest ways is that the audience has gone back to a lot of the old musicians and given them not only their just due in terms of respect, but royalty checks. Which go a lot longer these days.
I want to jump back for just a second because I sense another disagreement here. What I meant earlier about no role models for aging rock and rollers was as a contrast to other musical forms and other art forms where there are role models. Certainly in jazz, certainly in folk music, there are people who have...
But passing because they're older art forms. Seeger had Carl Sandburg to copy himself after, mm-hmm. and did,
yeah.
right down to having goats. Dylan had Seeger and Carl Sandburg and Woody Guthrie and all these other people to model himself after.
Okay.
Where did, not American Pie come from, where did Elvis come from? That's
sure.
the question.
Right.
Yeah. Elvis is the guy who came from Mars. And that is the reason there are no role models, because he didn't even have one for himself. And so the fact that we have so many people going out and trying to emulate a whole art form that basically comes from a cataclysmic personality is in itself a difficult task. Mm-hmm. It has no roots.
Yeah, it's just very sad to me to see the way a great number of these people who have meant so much to our lives end up, even some who are still active, as it were.
Well, this was one of the thrills for me. You mentioned Carnegie Hall at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Coming back there and knowing that the audience was still there after having been there in 6 years or so, and now I'm doing it annually each time at Thanksgiving.
Well, that's
great.
I'm going
to do a different type show. Next year we're going to use strings. We're going to have violins. I'm going to sing some beautiful music that I haven't been able to do with my guitar, things off different records. That was a great feeling to know that they were still out there. And part of what actually allowed that to happen and made last year, 1982, I should say, the best year I think I've ever had was a song written by one of these people who... mean a whole lot to us, a guy named Roy Orbison.
Mm.
He's one of the few that has survived.
Yes, he has.
And his music is still, it is the pop music of our time. We must, just say one more thing.
Sure.
Before I sing the song, if you want me to. We must stop looking at music as product. We must begin looking at songs, whether they come from the 60s, the 70s, the 50s, the 40s. Each artist has got to look at the entire spectrum of music out there and say, look, can I take that song, can I take that Harry Chapin song and make it my own? Can I take that Roy Orbison song and perform it in a way which makes it a new song? Why is it that I've Got You Under My Skin can be recorded 50 times and no one calls that a cover record? That's a standard.
Right.
But if someone takes a shot at American Pie, it's a cover. If someone takes a shot at Crying, it's a cover. Why? Because no one thinks in terms of standards in the pop music business. They think of standards as being I've Got You Under My Skin, but not Crying. And Crying is a standard. And there are many songs like that out there that just require the right producer and the right singer to get hold of them to make them new again.
Don, you said we've got to stop treating the music as product. Define the we in that. Is it the industry?
Well, the audience, I think, is so hyped all the time, or was. We have less money to hype now, so it's getting back down to more serious musical concerns. But there are so many areas in which we hype ourselves that have nothing to do with music. One of the things I've noticed is that the video revolution is really it's the same, really. It's televised top 40 radio. And what we're doing now is sitting in a little sound studio, which is very much akin to, I guess, what the guy on the silent screen lot must have thought about while they were busy running off the talking films. So, you know, it catches you one way or the other, and it's usually the same wrinkle. Basically, we put sound to movies then, now we're putting movies to sound now. And one of the reasons why we have to is because there are not the Chapin song says, there are not those things to believe in. There is not that imagery. There's not that sense of a song being something that if you sing it loud enough and sing it with enough conviction that you can change people's minds and thereby change the world. And that is what got me involved in strumming the guitar and making my way in this world with a song. That is the exact reason why I started, and still is the reason why I make music.
If you convey or repeat to an audience over and over again a particular piece of information, it starts to take on a believability.
Yes.
And what I would like you to do, therefore, if you wouldn't mind, is perform that Roy Orbison standard.
Okay.
Crying for us. You see, it's just a language. It's a semantics thing.
It surely is. Now, this is early in the morning, so I'm going to have to really tighten up my belt a couple of notches. I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. When I saw you last night, you held my hand so tight. When you stopped, you say hello. And though you wished me well, you couldn't tell that I'd been crying over you, crying over you. Then you said so long, left me standing all alone. Crying that ain't a standard, I don't know what is.
Don, we have shared many special moments together over the years. I thank you for this new one today.
Thank you very much.
On the premiere edition of Mixed Bag. This is Pete Foran at Town. We're going to try it all again next Sunday and every Sunday between 10 a.m. and 12 noon right here at 102.7. And let's leave you as we began with Harry Chapin at NEWFM.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire? And as we sang the words, it would set our minds on fire. For we believed in things, and so we'd sing, and so we'd sing.
Happy New Year from NEWFM.